This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Rahim Alhaj. This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm very pleased to be speaking today to Rahim Alhaj.
Glad to be here with you, John.
It is an absolute pleasure. We should tell folks who are listening, we're doing this in kind of a lobby room in the Finland Hotel in Butte, America, Butte, Montana, and this is part of the Montana Folk Festival. And I want to come back to the fact that you were involved in the first one. But let me first just tell folks, if you're not familiar with Rahim's music, and a lot of our listeners will be, he is a virtuoso player of the oud, and I do believe you are the first oud player we've had on Musician Spotlight, a composer and a musician originally from Baghdad, now in Albuquerque. And boy, that's a short version of your story, which we're going to get into in more detail, of course. And from a musical standpoint, studied at the conservatory there in Baghdad, and numerous recordings, including some Grammy-nominated recordings. The most recent is One Sky, and that's with the trio. Real quick, I said I'd come back to the fact that you were part of the original National Folk Festival in Butte. And just tell a little bit about, because I know you have some stories about that too.
It's a really beautiful thing to go back to your, and how is the music some travel? And that's why I might believe in it. Music, when it started, and when you go to my instrument, for example, it's like they call it the grandfather for all the string instrument. And all the string, you know, you go to lute, European lute, sitars, so on and so forth. Because a human being has been traveling. So when they travel, they took their culture with them. And then they develop another culture and another perspective of the sound, I call it. So that the sound will transform to feeling and meaning and atmosphere and color, I call it. So that's how it works. Now, with my situation, to be honest, it's like the same. I exiled, you know, I lived in Baghdad, and I trained as a musician since I was in second grade. And by the 13, I was a composer and started touring the world. Started with Munir Bashir, and he's the greatest oud player in the 21st century, and for 6 years. And then I traveled also, I exiled again, you know, traveled, you know, like, again, we go back to the same theme, how the music traveled. And we're talking about Butte. Yes, I started this 12 years ago. In fact, yesterday when I was playing, there's a guy who came to me, and he showed me a photo of me, and he said, I took this photo 12 years ago of you, and he was so beautiful, and he was like really wonderful. And he said, now I can put this new one and with the old one, and that's what. And I have a beautiful story actually when the first time I came to Butte, which is really, I've been saying it over and over again, because for a lot of reasons, one of them more recent, how human beings they connect to each other in a human level. And that the sound, when you present to other people, resonate in you, resonate in me, and we can identify which kind of sound, scary sound, or peaceful sound, or inviting sound. That's how we communicate. And this elderly man came 12 years ago in Butte, and he's barely walk, actually. I remember him. And he said, hey, man, I love your music, but when I can get your CDs? I said, I guess there's a booth there you can buy. He said, well, I went there, and they said it's sold out. And there's a lot of people, I mean, I signed visit. I said, well, would it be possible if you can email me? And he said, oh, I don't do email. I'm old man. I mean, so I said, well, here's my card. He said, my daughter knows how to do the computer. I said, oh, great. So I gave him my card and said, please just email me. And he emailed your address. And so, in fact, he did. I mean, his daughter emailed me and he said, Rahim, I'm the daughter of this man. He asked me to my dad, blah, blah, blah. And he sent me his address. And I collect all my music, all my records, and I signed them. And I sent it to them. To him, and free, of course. And when he received it, he was in tears. He said, I've never met an Arab man. I never heard oud before. And he was moved so much. And he made a batlat for his neighbors. And he told him, come and see, listen to this music. So he took picture, his daughter took a picture of this, you know, they listened to my music and they said, this is how human being should be. Not the animosity, not the differences, no similarities. And this man, it taught me a lesson of and that's what I'm doing it, right? Mm-hmm. To be honest, I'm continuing doing it over and over and over again because I believe in the music. And in a Butte, you know, middle of nowhere, you know, you come to this. But I made differences in their life. And he said, this is the most beautiful things ever happened to my life. It's like somebody sent me a gift in 12 records signed by the artist free. I mean, just because he said, you are a good human being. Mm-hmm. And I think if we, all of us, the humanity, would take this method of communication, I think we would be in a good place.
Raheem, I should maybe tell listeners, we have spoken before by phone and had quite a nice long conversation. And so I will, if I make any reference to our previous conversation, I want to make sure to let folks know we have had a conversation before. One of the things that I wanted to get to was simply to ask you about Baghdad, because for, I would say, most Americans, when they hear that name of that city, their connotation is a very certain connotation. And what I treasure about our conversation here is to have the opportunity to bring Baghdad more into focus wholly for our listening audience. So I know that's a big, it's a big order to toss the word out and say Baghdad, but this is where you were born, this is where you're from. Just some general, I mean, again, this starts your story, but to bring Baghdad is a city into focus for some of our listeners.
I think Baghdad, like I said, you'd associate it always with war, all with destruction, but not beauty, not music, not creation, not art. Not a history of thousands of years, not a beautiful river, not a beautiful bird, and beautiful human beings. And that's why when my last, was 2015, I think, when I went back, in fact, I went back last 2 months ago, but this is the project I did. It's called Letters from Iraq. And this is letters actual letters actually written by Iraqi women and children to the United States. And in fact, two of the letters arrived here anonymously, one to Ohio, actually, and one in Kansas City, I think, and the third one was in Seattle. And for these people who tell their stories, to people who they don't have no idea who they are, they find an address and they send it to them. And then I find this another letter. So I composed this, I mean, I not composed, but actually I called it Translate These Letters from Word to Sound. And it was obligated for that. That gives you a sense of the Baghdad. That's what we have. And at the same time, Baghdad always present in my soul, because it's my, you know, and I composed a lot of, my first record actually in the United States was the second Baghdad, it's called. And I Baghdad always, there's a semi Baghdad, there is a Baghdad in Athens for Peter Buck, and then I go on and on. So Baghdad's always been present and cleared in my, to give people a sense of, yeah, it's not distracted, you know, not war, not destruction. No, it has a beautiful side of it, which is like any city in the world. There's beauty in it, and there is creative part in it, and there is history behind it. So I'm trying as much as I can to bring this history and that beauty to the American people who has no idea what's Baghdad look like, how, what the people they think of American, for example, and how they capture or how they paint this city in their heart or in their mind. And that's what I've been doing.
I'm speaking today with Rahim Alhaj. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. Let's talk about the oud, the grandfather of all string instruments.
Right.
And it's wonderful to have a chance to speak with someone who is a virtuoso of this instrument. As I'll describe to listeners, I'm looking at the case, and I do remember a case that looked like that when I was at a conservatory in Indiana going to school, and there was a lute in it, right. Not an oud, very similar shape to the instrument. But let's just dive into your instrument and how it came into your life and how it continues to be so much a part of your life.
Like I said, that's a beautiful introduction. So that's easy to relate it to lute, European lute. And actually, this is a kind of brief my, the same, as if like that's the story, the history repeat itself. Like there is an Iraqi black a slave was in Baghdad in the 9th century, and he's a genius oud player, actually. And he got threatened, so he escaped Baghdad, and he went to Spain. And then where the lute actually started it. And then, you know, guitar started after that and so forth. My story with my oud is like, it goes back to when I was in the elementary school. He was in the second grade, and there is a teacher who's not really a music teacher, he was just Arabic teacher. But he loved to bring his instrument to us, and he always bring his instrument to us and play some and sing for us. I'm like, wow, that's beautiful. So I was courageous enough that time. You know, teaching back home, it's like a god. You can't face him in the eye. He's like, no, you can't. If he touched you like that, you're like, probably you would, one day you just like smile. You know? So I was courageous enough. I said, can I just touch it? And he said, sure. So I reached my hand and I put my hand on it. It's like beautiful, soft wood. And the smell of the wood is like, oh God, it's so gorgeous. It was like electricity came to all my body. And I so remember it so vividly, actually. I can remember it vividly. What happened? I couldn't sleep that time because I was so happy. And I was waiting and dying to see it again and just touch it again, you know. So 2 days or 3 days later, I saw him, and he brought his instrument and said, can I touch it again? And he looked at me like 2 or 3 days later, he came to our class, and I asked him if I can just touch it again. And he looked at me and said, well, would you like to play? And I said, oh, yeah. So he handed to me, he said, be careful. And it's big Iraqi oud and style, and it's bigger than me. But I imitate him. I put my right hand on the string and my left hand on the fingerboard, and I streamed. I don't know what I did, really, to be honest. I was so nervous. And he said, be careful. So, and I did it something, and he freaked out. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. What did you do? I said, I don't know. I said, you are a musician. Take it. And he said, no, 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 it's not yours until you know how to play it. Oh, God, I mean, how can I take this oud bigger than me walking from the school to my home? And he went with me to my home and tell my dad, because they said, well, you know, where did you brought this? And this is like, it's bigger than you. So he came, and it was a big honor for my family, you know, when my teacher come to my home and tell them this guy he's gifted, and I went to teach him. So he started teaching me small things like melodies, like major, and next day I was just like playing something, absolutely freak him out and blow his mind. And he said, well, look, I'm not a musician, and you need real teacher to. Then he referred me to his friend, says, dear, beautiful human being, the Adin, and he started teaching me how to read and music. And I did first, actually, my first solo, it was third grade. Yeah, and then from that I started, you know, playing until I was 13. And I went the national youth composers at that time. In fact, that's what I composed one piece to protest the Iran-Iraq war. On Iran and makam. So anyway, so
I don't mean to interrupt, but let's explain to listeners what a makam is. I know because we've had this conversation.
Yeah, so this is a mode we call it makam, M-A-Q-A-M, and the mode or the scale is like major and minors, except that has a lot of elements to it. So that's how we use our music, and that's how we built our music, and the foundation of it is the makam, is the, and it's for two djinns, we call it djinns, so two, three notes in the beginning, two, four notes, and sharing notes. And that's the system we use to create our own music.
We'll be back with more from our visit with Rahim Alhaj here on Musicians Spotlight. Welcome back to Musicians Spotlight and our visit with Rahim Alhaj. We return to our conversation with Rahim Alhaj here on Musician's Spotlight as Rahim recounts his early beginnings as a world touring musician and finds his passion for working towards social justice.
I started touring, you know, since I was 13 till now. But that time, actually, I became more aware about social justice, and I became obsessed about social justice in the world. And until this minute, I'm obsessed about social justice in the world. Any human being in this planet, it belongs to me. Every single human being in this planet has a problem. I am responsible for it, especially women and children. All my music, all my records, and all my composition for orchestras, and it's about women and children because I feel like they don't have voice. So I need to be their voice, translate their stories to music. And then I get a problem with the government, of course, you know, living in the dictatorship under Saddam Hussein at that time, and I imprisoned and tortured for 2 years. And then after that, my mom actually saved my life and bribed the guy who made this false Iraqi travel document, I mean, false passport. And he took me from Baghdad to Jordan. And bribed me for 1 million dinar at that time, a lot of money, like $25,000, I mean, which is still $25,000, a lot of money. And so I escaped from Baghdad to Jordan, and I stayed a while hiding there until I get invitation to go to Syria. And Syria, I was safe because that time there's no relationship between Syria and Iraq. I mean, diplomatic relationship. They hate each other, you know. So all the opposition group, Iraqi group, they live in Syria. All the Syrian opposition group and Syrian group, they live in Iraq. So they don't have. So I went to Syria, and it was in 1992, and end of 1991, actually, beginning of 92. And I stayed there for 8 years, and being a musician and touring the world, and I mean, Europe, that time, till 2000. And I came to United States in 2000 as a political asylum. And this is another story. So when I came here, it's a story, it's been famous story. It's called McDonald's story. And it's been like news and CNN and New York Times. And when you came to United States as a political asylum, basically there's an organization who is responsible to receive you and give you your paper and like social security and establish your being resident in the United States. And 1 month, they give you 1 month free and rent, and then you start your life. And my caseworker, he came and he said, Rahim, we have a beautiful news for you. We have find a job for you. And I didn't speak English at that time, actually. I thought I speak English. So I said, sure, you know, which kind of job is that? He said, in McDonald's. And I said, oh, so which kind of conservatory is that? So they teach Western classical music or Eastern classical music? And he smiled. He said, no. It's not... a conservatory. It's
sorry, this is
yeah, really yeah. And he said, no, it's McDonald. And I said, oh yeah. So basically, they teach just Western classical because I'm a violinist. I am classically trained as a violinist.
Perhaps Scottish music they were teaching.
Yeah, I told him I'm classically trained as a violinist, this is my second instrument. And he smiled again. He said, no, it's not really a conservatory. It's a restaurant. And I looked at him and said, but I don't play in a restaurant. I said, he smiled again. He said, well, you're not going to play in McDonald's, man. I said, so what do you need me to do there? Like, I don't know what the McDonald's is. I knew. I never saw McDonald's, you know. And so at any rate, he said, no, you work as a dishwasher. So I've lost it. So whatever bad word I learned, I just throw them. And I said, well, do you know who I am, really? And like, can you please send me back to Syria? This is ridiculous. You know, this is inconceivable to me. He said, no, we know you are the best on the oodle in the world, blah, 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 but you have to make a living. And like, that's it. And they give me $60 at that time, you know, and I smoked it in 1 week, you know. So I stuck in New Mexico, Albuquerque, in desert. And the United Nations actually chose New Mexico for me for two reasons. The first reason they said it's because I'm interested in art. And my hobby is to write about art, to critique. This is just my hobby. And the music, they told me, in Santa Fe and Taos and New Mexico, it's very important for one of them, not one of them, actually, the second important state for art. And desert, like Middle East. So you fit in. So that's what the reason for the United Nations chose New Mexico. It's like I stuck in Albuquerque. I mean, I didn't even know how to pronounce the Albuquerque when I came, actually. And I stuck. I said, well, no, I need to go back. This is not, it's not going to work. And he said, well, yeah, of course. But the problem is you have to pay the ticket you came in and the ticket you go back to Syria. Well, at that time, like $5,000 or more. I'm like, I don't have it. You give me just $60 and I already smoked it, you know? there's a beautiful woman and she's my dear friend. She's still my best friend. Her name Kelly. And Kelly Gaibakunrathan, she was teaching me actually English and I was teaching Arabic. She's interested in Arabic and she speaks actually Arabic. But I was teaching her Arabic because I hold a degree in Arabic literature at the same time, holding a degree in music. And I told Kelly, can I do a concert to collect my ticket and go back? And she said, well, Rahim, it's really hard, you know. It's in New Mexico. Your instrument is in Oud. It's not familiar instrument in the United States. But we could try. So with her help we rented the hall in UNM, Keller Hall, and we put some of flyers. I'm not putting my flyer on the street. She said, just stay in. And there's beautiful things happen in this concert. I didn't make it. Actually, I made, like, after being in the hall and the security and the sound and equipment, and I didn't make it, like, I think $217 or something. But there's beautiful things happening in this concert. There's a guy with his son came to the green room. This little boy holding the program with my picture in it, and he was in tears. And I said in bad English, I said, you don't like my music, don't you? He said, no, I adored it. I loved it, but I need your autograph. Mm. I said, wow. If this little boy understood what I'm talking about, the struggle of children and struggle of women around, and because Kelly was talking to the audience because I don't speak English, and she explained the piece, what I'm talking about, and then I just play it. And I said, I'm going to make a huge difference in this country. I'm going to make a huge difference. And I told Kelly, I'm staying. I started playing, you know, concert here, a small concert, but then because when I came to United States, I have a cassette. That time, when I arrived, there's nobody use cassette anymore. It's gone. So they told me that you need a CD. That's what I made my first CD. And Kelly was telling me that we don't have money, so we have $300. And that's the cost to record the record. But I need you to finish whole record in 1 hour. Do you understand that? And I said, sure. She said, because if we pass 1 minute or half hour, doesn't matter. They're going to charge us $300. Do you understand? This is talked to me in Arabic, actually. And I said, sure. I took my, this is solo instrument record. So I went to the studio and I did it 56 minute. Oh. One take. And I made it. So, and then I brought it, and then I was like, now what? How can I produce? I don't have money. And the Manny, that's the guy who, as I was talking about, the sound engineer, he said, look, this guy, he has a record and he needs to master it, but, you know, he doesn't have money, you know? So he listened to it, like, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, I'm going to master it free. Oh, wow. And then, beautiful things, I received in the email, in the mail, actually, from Bank of America, said, hey, Rahim, Haz, you, congratulations, you approved for a credit card for $2,000 and with the check stub. And I went to Kelly. I said, Kelly, can I use this money? Is this real check? She said, yeah, but you have to pay it back. You know, you can't with interest. And I said, I don't care. And so I made this, and I get this $2,000 from the bank. And I produced my first record. It's called The Second Bag. That was just beautiful, one take. And I was crying in the studio, like literally. It's a beautiful record, solo record. I mean, that's why I've been solo record. I mean, I started as a solo performer till actually 2003. All my life was solo performing. So I didn't have $50 to put barcode. They said, well, you need $50 to put barcode, or you need it without. I said, well, I don't have $50. Just do it without barcode. And I made it without barcode. Within 16 months, John, I sold 28,000 copy. 16 months. I mean, like, it was great. My concert was like $300 or $200, but I sell $4,000 of worth of CDs, you know. And I started being, you know, traveling, you know, here closer. And then Smithsonian heard me. And in fact, Stephen Feld, who was the most famous ethnomusicologist in the planet, and happened, it was my concert in New Mexico, and he lives in New Mexico, in Santa Fe, and he was a professor at Columbia University, and he invited me to do a concert in Columbia, in New York, and I did that, and I have another record, which is happened, he recorded me there, actually 3 days after the invasion, it was critical. So he recorded the concert, and he put it out. It's called Iraqi Music in Time Out. In a time of war. It's very personal record, solo. And then Smithsonian, and when he saw me, he wrote to Smithsonian, said, look, this guy is incredible, so you need to take him. And so they called me and they said, well, can we put the record with you? I said, sure. And then I started composing music, actually, for orchestras. Actually started with string quartet, I love string quartet. So I made my first string quartet, I toured it in the United States, and then a lot of musicians, they've been calling me, and like Atmar Liebert, you know. And we have beautiful record together, it's called Under the Rose, actually, me and him and John Gagan bass. And we sold like 110,000 copy of it. And he lives in New Mexico too, in Santa Fe. And he's famous, I mean, like really famous. So we donate all this money of this record to Iraqi Children Fund. Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians, The Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Rahim Alhaj. We were just saying in between the questions here that it's very easy to get into a good conversation between the two of us. we've decided that's pretty simple. There's so many things that I could go off on, and so many parts of your story. I have to acknowledge this and ask our listeners, as we have been talking about this, to go back to the part of your journey where you were imprisoned for, if I understand this correctly, for using the harmony and modality,
yes,
of Iran.
Correct.
As an Iraqi musician. And I just want our, you know, primarily American listeners, but listeners all over the world, to really let that sink in, because it's remarkable. And also the other thing, when you mentioned that your mom had helped you get, you know, a fake ID to get out of Iraq, it was because, if I understand correctly, there was a threat of an assassination.
Correct.
I just want listeners to realize, when they hear this beautiful music and hear these wonderful stories,
that's where it came from.
This is where this comes from. Correct. And not to belabor, to go, you know, to spend too much time with it, but I think it is such a remarkable part of your story. That alone could have us talking more, but maybe just a few comments about that.
I always say to people, reach inside of your soul and your heart. You see, what are you good at? Because a human being is a phenomenal creature, has a capacity to do big harm and capacity to do beautiful things. So we need to concentrate on the good things to make this planet a beautiful place for another generation to come. I always cry when I say that, because it's our responsibility. It's when you see kids, this beautiful girl, young, she was smiling. She said, "You are the most beautiful music I've ever heard." And she's, yes, I said, "Can I take a picture of you?" And she's smart. And I said, "Wow, I reached her, you know." So I said, we make this planet good for them, not just for us. Yeah.
RahimAlhaj.com is your website, is that right? I'm going to spell that for listeners. RahimAlhaj.com. Did I do that correctly?
Absolutely.
All right. And One Sky is the most recent recording, but there's just a plethora of flavors tones and colors of your music for listeners to find on your website or where they can find music. It's been an honor to have you on our show.
Thank you very much. It was beautiful, and I'm honored to be in your show. And please, listener, support this beautiful things, because it's not easy to find a musician who talk about their culture and it's not familiar culture to that. So I encourage the listener to support John Rold as much as you can and spotlight there. And thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Rahim Alhaj. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook as well as on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Montana Folk Festival and the Finland Hotel for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.